It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Oh, it is with heavy hearts, those of us here at IPR, heavy, heavy hearts, but also hearts chock full of sincere thanks and well wishes for the future as we say goodbye to a valued and beloved colleague who has kept us all informed about developments at the Iowa Legislature, a colleague who is a true professional with solid journalistic integrity, and it's so important for these times we live in. And simply put, a colleague who is a joy to work with. Joyce Russell joins me on her last day before retirement. Joyce Russell, welcome to our program.
Oh, thank you, Ben. Thank you for those kind comments.
They are all so well-deserved. Joyce Russell, our IPR Statehouse correspondent at Iowa Public Radio in recent years, but working at WOI and Iowa Public Radio for 30 years. Are you actually cleaning out your desk on this last day?
Yeah, I had a desk at 2111 Grand in Des Moines, so I cleaned that out. But I actually had three desks at the Capitol. I had a desk in the press room on the ground floor. That was my main hangout there, and you know, a lot of stuff collected there. But I also had a desk, as many reporters do, at the press bench in both the Iowa House and Senate, and some stuff had collected there. I went through a lot of. It was kind of a trip down memory lane, as you
I
can
bet.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Went through a lot of old files, saved some things, threw out a lot of stuff. But yeah, that was a day's work. Cleaning out my desks, that was a day's work.
Right. And we know cleaning out desks after jobs, a lot of it goes in recycling or trash, but some of it you just hang on to because it has a certain memory. Is there any objects you're holding on to that you say, wow, that will take me back a few years?
Oh, well, I have a really nice keepsake. I needed a placard of some kind for my press seat in the Senate, because just the way it was located, people kept sitting there, even though it was my seat. So Matt Siren, our administrative assistant, made me this beautiful, it's a wooden and chrome placard. This is Joyce Russell, correspondent, Iowa Public Radio. It's just lovely. So that's going to be a nice keepsake to take home.
And where will you put that?
Maybe on the mantle at home.
Well, Joyce, before we let you go, this on your last day of work, I want to actually tap you for some of your expertise one last time, if I may, as we look forward to the next session and as we have our midterm election behind us. Republicans remaining in control in the Iowa legislature, a trifecta, the majority in both chambers and the governorship. What stories will you be watching heading into this next session?
Well, you know, the tax cut was such a big piece of legislation last year and something that the Republicans had strained toward for a number of years. And there's been a big question, or at least a question in some people's minds as to whether that went far enough. And Governor Reynolds the other night, in her victory speech after the election on Tuesday night, she said... in effect, promised more tax cuts. She did this little chant with the listeners, I mean, with the crowd there saying, and we're just getting started, and we're just getting started. And she said, and as far as cutting taxes, we're just getting started, the crowd responded. So I'm going to be watching for that. You know, we've been talking about the possibility of sports betting on college sports in Iowa. And that will almost certainly be taken up by the legislature this year. One interesting thing is that one of the main champions of that in the legislature was Representative Jake Heifel. And Representative Heifel was defeated in Tuesday's election. So they're going to be looking for another champion for that. I don't think they'll have too much trouble finding somebody else to take that up.
I have to ask, too, because other states are, it's sort of a, if you look at the map, more and more states, three, I think, in this midterm are going for approving recreational use of marijuana, of cannabis. Michigan, our neighbor there to the north, do you see any movement there, likely?
No, I see no movement of that as long as Republicans have the trifecta at the State House.
Okay. Let's go back, because I know our listeners would love to hear about your beginnings after 30 years at WOI and Iowa Public Radio. Why did you get into journalism?
Well, I have an English degree. I actually have two English degrees, and I had been trying mightily to put a teaching career together, and I just didn't like teaching. But I did like writing, and, you know, journalism is teaching of a sort. I've always, that's one of the things that has kind of kept me going, is that I feel like I was educating the public about what was going on at the State House, but in a way that suited my temperament more. So we were in a small town in Oklahoma where my husband had his first teaching job. And I was ready to try to move into journalism. And in that little town, the radio station was a better place to work than the newspaper. And that's how I got into radio instead of print journalism. And then had some opportunities for internships along the way. And then, you know, just had wonderful colleagues along the way, training opportunities that supported my career in journalism.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate what you say about sort of writing, because those who have not worked in this capacity will perhaps not realize how difficult it is to boil something down into, you have, I don't know, 50 or 60 seconds for the radio, or as we have in our conversations, when I ask you to explain something going on in the State House, to explain in a minute some very complex issues. That's tough work, isn't it?
It is, but I really loved it from the start. I loved the style of broadcast writing, and it's just been fun to try to imagine the listener, you know, in the car or in the kitchen, and make it as you said, as succinct and clear as possible. So it's challenging, and it's also just a really fun form of communication.
Mm-hmm. Before you covered the legislature, what were your sort of earliest journalistic endeavors?
Well, in a little town, I started in this little town, and that's really where my interest in reporting on government started, because my family was not political. My dad was on the city council in our little town that he mocked it and didn't respect it very much. But when you take a journalism job in a little town, then you go to every city council meeting, you go to every school board meeting,
mm-hmm.
Anytime there's a public meeting going on. And I just took to it right away. I just thought government was endlessly fascinating. And then every job I had, I tended toward the government side of things. And then, of course, when we moved to Iowa, you know, we thought this was probably going to be our last move. And, you know, got the map out and pointed to where we were going. And I went, oh, man, where are we going? That was my first thought. My second thought was, oh, it's 40 miles from a state capital. I'll get my chance to cover a legislature. And so that's how things worked out.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about the Iowa legislature. When did you start covering the Iowa legislature? About what year? Was it in the 90s?
It was in 1990. Mm-hmm. And the stars just aligned for that to happen. I started at WOI in 1988, part-time. And then by February then of 1989, I was full-time. And I really wanted to cover the legislature right away. And at that time, our dear and now late colleague Jim Wishner was doing the coverage. That was back when we broadcast live debate, and it was a very grueling assignment, and he didn't particularly like it. He was just kind of taking his turn to be a good colleague. And so I was eager to go. I was ready to go in 1989. Mm-hmm. Our news director wisely said, well, no, let's kind of let you get kind of eased in here. But by 1990 was my first session. Jim was happy to be out of it, and I was happy to be doing it.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about that. Let me remind our listeners, Joyce Russell, talking with Joyce on her last day of work before retirement after 30 years at WOI and Iowa Public Radio, keeping us all informed here in Iowa and across the Midwest. Joyce, talk a little bit about changes you've seen or big stories. What will stand out in that nearly 30 years at the legislature as high points?
Well, I thought about that question about what story I've covered that was the most meaningful to me. And I think the answer to that, not a legislative story, but still an important public policy story, and that was approval of same-sex marriage by the Iowa Supreme Court. This was, like a lot of people, I had to be brought along on the issue of same-sex marriage. And it wasn't until I covered this and covered the court decisions on it that it became a no-brainer. I could no longer see it any other way but that it was a civil right. A church can say what it wants. A church is, under these court rulings, a church is free to marry or not marry a same-sex couple. But when it's the government involved and it's a marriage license, the government has no business denying it to a same-sex couple. And the court decisions were just so well written and so convincing, first at the district court level, and then, of course, the unanimous decision by the Iowa Supreme Court, that once I saw it as a civil right, there was no going back. So it was also just a really thrilling story to cover. I got to cover that for NPR that day, I remember, mm-hmm. And it was a breaking story and a unanimous ruling, which made it an even more important story. So I got the extra thrill of reporting a breaking story for NPR that day. So it was very memorable.
Right, and I remember that day well. It's hard to believe that I think next year it will be 10 years mm-hmm. since the Iowa Supreme Court ruling in 2009, I think April of 2009, that made Iowa the third state, only the third state in the nation, to say, you know, same-sex marriage.
I have relatives in California, or my husband does, and now my son lives out there. And when that was going on, that, you know, it hadn't been approved in California, which, you know, most people would have thought if it's going to get approved anywhere, it's going to get approved in California. And they would just pick my brain and say, what? How did that happen in Iowa? Well, the answer is we had a constitution that is very, very clear on civil rights. And it was very, very clear that this was a violation of our constitution to deny that.
Right. And not without consequences. We also had three judges not retained for their part in that decision.
That's right. And that was another really interesting thing to cover. I also covered that for NPR.
Joyce Russell with me, IPR Statehouse correspondent. On her last day speaking with us, reflecting on some of the memories in 30 years of working at WOI and IPR. Other moments from your coverage at the State House that will, cleaning out all those desks at the State House, or things you tripped upon in going down memory lane, cleaning out a desk, and people, moments. What else, Joyce?
Well, I think that the death penalty was another important issue during the years that I've been working. Back in the 90s, when Republicans were in control, they tried but failed to pass a death penalty bill. And then fast forward to this very past year, when it looked very much like the Republican trifecta, very much looked like they had the momentum to pass a death penalty bill. And one of the more surprising moments at the State House was this past year. There was a committee to consider this death penalty bill. A very reliable conservative legislator had been assigned the bill to manage it, Stephen Holt from Denison. He was assigned that bill, I'm sure, with every expectation that he would shepherd that bill through to you know, full debate in the House. And then crowded committee room, standing room only. In fact, I don't think everybody who wanted to be in there even got into that room. When it was time for him to advance the bill, he declined to do so. And he had said he had listened to the arguments and he was convinced that that was not the way to go. He said the death penalty is expensive to implement because of all the court challenges that ensue if you sentence someone to death, and that it was unevenly applied to on the basis of race. And so that was it's a really significant moment that after, you know, two attempts over all of these years that I've been working, mm-hmm. Iowa will remain one of the few states in the country that does not have the death penalty.
Joyce Russell, I want to ask you a question that I get, and I'm interested in your answer to it, because you are such a I said integrity at the beginning of this conversation, solid integrity, explaining both sides or several sides of any story. And I wonder, how is it, and I'm sure you get to ask this question, how do you have your own beliefs, I'm sure, all of us do, How do you remain nonpartisan in this business to deliver the story accurately and fairly?
People ask me that all the time. And it's just our job to hear both sides and report both sides. And I think the longer I've been in the business, the more moderate I have become in my views, because every day I have to hear both sides, and there is both sides on many of these issues. So that's, like I said, people ask me that all the time, and I guess that's just about the best answer I can give.
Mm. Let me ask you a little bit about your life, your interests outside of journalism, outside of Iowa Public Radio. What do you do otherwise?
Well, I read a lot. I'm in two book clubs. I raised three children, and now I try to stay in touch with them and there as they've live in different places. And I have two grandchildren that we try very hard to stay in touch with them. They live in California. I'm expecting that we go out there pretty often. I'm not sure we'll go out there more often, but I'm sure we'll stay longer now when we go out there, since vacation time is no longer an issue.
You're also a big movie fan.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah, we see a lot of movies, and I'm kind of a connoisseur of movie reviews. I read a lot of movie reviews, and so I always have, a long list of movies that I want to see far longer than I'll ever see. But I was telling Lindsay that I like to read movie reviews even when they're reviews of bad movies.
Yeah.
Because, really clever, talented writers can say funny things about bad movies. So that's kind of a hobby. Seeing movies and reading movie reviews is one of my hobbies.
Right. So there's an alternate path that Joyce Russell, movie reviewer. Could you have gone down that path?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, there's a lot of life left out there. Maybe you'll want to do that. What are some of your other future plans?
I've been telling people that I just am just looking forward to a slower pace of life and time to reflect and write in my journal and clean out my closets, clean out my attic, mm-hmm. take care of things around the house that have, gone by the wayside for all these years.
Right.
And then more travel. My husband has a little more of a travel bug than I do. So that's something we're going to have to work out, because I can no longer say, well, too bad, January to May, can't go anywhere.
No more excuse.
That's right.
Any parts of the country in particular you want to travel to that you haven't really seen?
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't seen the South, the Southern United States, and we're kind of planning a long road trip through the Southern United States. I want to see the Faulkner Country in Oxford, Mississippi. I want to see, David was just in Montgomery, Alabama for a conference, and there's a new slavery lynching museum there that he just said was so, so moving. I'm interested in the Civil War times, and I've always wanted to go to Charleston and see the slavery sites there. So a Southern U.S. trip is in the offing. But we went with our children and grandchildren to Yosemite this last year. Mm. In May. We went in May. In fact, we were on pins and needles because it looked like they weren't going to adjourn the legislature in time, but they did. Anyway, we went to Yosemite. Yosemite had been on my husband's bucket list, and I've been saying it was on my bucket list. I just didn't know it because I just fell in love with Yosemite. So I suspect we'll go back there soon, maybe take our grandsons, just David and me and the grandsons. This time we went with my son and daughter-in-law and the boys. We're envisioning maybe another trip back to Yosemite just with the boys.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like wonderful plans, a lot planned in your retirement. Joyce, when you think about, you've shared some really momentous things that you have covered and been part of in our state, in our nation. I wonder if there are just little routine things in your workday that you realize now on your last day you will miss.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff that I won't miss.
Okay, let's talk about that.
I won't miss, and this is, I think maybe other people my age may feel this too, as a journalist, involvement with social media isn't optional for a journalist.
Yeah.
You know, I have to be plugged in to do this job well these days, plugged into Twitter and so on. And it's been a hard transition for me, and I'm not going to miss that part of it. Let's see, some of the daily work I'll still be able to do. I mean, I have my favorite Iowa news sources, and I'll still keep up with those, but I'll keep up with them in a way that there won't be so much pressure to.
Yes.
Let's see, what's the next story
exactly.
I could do on this, because it's just been part of my nature. So I think it's going to be fun to keep up on Iowa news without any pressure to actually keep up on reporting it.
You have so much, Joyce Russell, to be proud of in this career going back 30 years at WOI and Iowa Public Radio. We are so sorry to see you go, but rejoice that you have such a nice future planned out. We will miss you, Joyce. I will miss you.
Oh, well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate it.
Be well, Joyce.
Thanks very much.
A conversation I had with Joyce Russell, recorded on Friday, her last day before retirement from IPR. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Caitlin Harrop, with help from Alyssa Bobinette. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.